Yo, let's go. It's the Great Debate Show. Back, better than ever, baby. We're in the building. The Great Debate Show with your host, myself, Jarvis Jeffries, along with Terrence Smith. Nick Ely, not here today because this is a wrestling episode. So we are here with the It Girl of Radio, Nicole Covington. And yeah, how you doing, Nicole? How you doing, T? Pretty good, pretty good. Ready to get into all of this backstage heat and all this juicy drama and back. Yeah, everything is just going on right now in the WWE and possibly AEW. We've got a lot of wrestling, so let's get to it. Again, Nicole Covington back with us for this wrestling episode. This is her second time joining us. She is the It Girl of Radio. If you want to follow her on social media. And she's doing a lot of good things in radio and TMZ these days. So we're going to get right to it, guys. Me and Terrence was at SmackDown this past Friday. They were in our city, Memphis, Tennessee. And SmackDown wasn't the best episode as we've been leading up to WrestleMania 40, the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Supposedly, we've gotten some great shows. Dallas was on fire. They were cooking. The week before that, they were cooking. And then they get to Memphis, and it was just The Rock, no Roman, and no Cody, no Seth. They had all of that fun in Dallas. But outside of The Rock concert, guys, I don't think it was the best SmackDown. Again, no Street Profits, no Bianca, Belair. Didn't get to see a lot of the superstars that I thought I would see, or at least in a promo or something. Yeah, we got Randy and, you know, in a match, and Logan and KO, AJ, a little bit of them, LA Knight, but still, just not the best SmackDown that I've seen because it's been so good this past 2-3 weeks. This one was kind of the one where it was like, you know, a sleeper, a bunch of fill-ins. And next week, they're going to get back to the good stuff, unfortunately, for us. So anyway, Nicole, Terrence, what's going on right now in the WWE with the heat that The Rock is getting? We're going to get into what's going on in the WWE in a minute, but he's been cutting these 10-20 minute promos, and there's been a lot of profanity that he's been using in these promos. But again, it's on social media. Does he do it a little bit on Fox, on SmackDown? Yeah, a little, and they censor it as always. So, but the wrestlers, some of the stars in the back, or giving The Rock some backstage heat right now for the profanity, because they have been told in certain emails to stick to the PG guidelines that they have, and he's not doing it. Now, we know The Rock is now using the term final boss, and he is on the board of directors. So, ladies and gentlemen, please tell me why there's so much heat that he's getting right now for what he's doing.
I think it is completely understandable from the perspective of the talent why they would be upset if they're being told to stick to these guidelines. But, you know, The Rock is getting to be able to say whatever it is he wants with no filter and no sort of repercussions. I can understand that. But at the same time, he has to realize that now that he is on the TKO board of directors, is he in the same, you know, pool as everyone? Yes, he's still a talent, but at the same time, he's talent and their boss. So he obviously is getting a lot more leeway. And of course, he's still one of the biggest draws to the WWE. It's understandable, but full disclosure, I have never sat through one of those full 20 whatever minute videos he has posted on Instagram talking about Seth, Cody, whoever. But we have to say, hey, yeah, he is talent, but at the same time, he's The Rock. He's The Rock, you know? He's on a completely different plane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when it comes to not just wrestling, but like entertainment as a whole, The Rock is mad legitimately, but even today, still to be the most entertaining person in all of entertainment. I'm not trying to give too much authority, but like, and he knows what he's doing. He's very good at what he does. Nobody can do what he does. John Cena tried it, but John Cena is not The Rock. Batista is not The Rock. And, you know, whether it's movies or whether it's WWE, which I think, I always say, like, And I know we kind of frowned upon WWE as far as being a lower level of entertainment in Hollywood. But I don't think that's the case anymore. I think The Rock is still taking WWE to places that nobody else can take. And I don't know if you guys saw the post that Rick had made on Twitter or X, basically admitting that The Rock is never the ball when it comes to promo, and that was above even what he was. And I don't disagree with that. You might. You kind of look more flat on the 80s than I did.
I like that. I like that.
And if they're watching him, they're watching everybody else.
Absolutely. And Terrence, I like everything that you just said there, and Nicole, you as well. I just want to say, as far as Ric Flair and his statements, I don't have a problem with him saying that at all. And I agree with him. However, if you feel that way, Rick, how the hell did you leave him out of your top five list on Club Shay Shay? You remember that? He explained why The Rock wasn't a top five. It's kind of contradicting now for you to say this, and you said that then. So say that again, T. I lost you a little bit.
Did he say it because The Rock didn't do it long enough?
Oh, yeah, that may have been the reason. I really wasn't trying to listen once I saw and read what I read on the meme. I'm not going to lie. I didn't listen to his entire reasoning for it. So, I'm going to go by you. I'm going to go off your word. If you say that's why he said it, then that's why he said it. But still, if that's the case, then, I mean, I understand. You can give him his props for the promo, but that alone, the things that he just said about what he's done to his promo, that alone is why he is who he is. That's why he is where he's at. And that's why he definitely is still top five. I just don't see how you could say this. And then it's a big contradiction, in my opinion. But I do agree with him. I do agree with him.
It's like, hey, that guy's bring an ounce of product. It's you never win, the money goes up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Terrence, you're kind of getting it. I don't know what's going on with your signaling, but your signal kind of is off a little bit. So before you say anything, I want to make sure we get you right. Yep, want to make sure we get you right. Okay, so we won't lose you anymore. My next question, though, to you all is, okay, so the backstage heat, I agree with both of you, too. He's still The Rock in the end. You know what I'm saying? If it was just me, let's say I'm The Rock, and there's a bunch of executives, TKO, the rest of the board of directors, and the superstars, and we're all in one big meeting. There's only one thing that he has to say. I'm The Rock, bitch. And that's it. That's just me now. And I think that's just what it is. I know it's not fair. Hey, man, he's this. Who is he supposed to be? He's The Rock, bitch. That's it. That's just it. And as you all were alluding to, maybe you be a sponge right now and just soak it all in and figure out how you can be this one day. And they'll do the same thing to you with your money. Terrence, you were at the FedEx Forum on Monday. You would have thought Ja Morant and a whole bunch of other superstars joined him for the Memphis Grizzly game. You would have thought that's what it looked like out there in that parking lot, the garage, inside that arena. This is what The Rock does. That's why he gets to use profanity when it's still PG. And they're going away from that January 1st. Yes, yes. That's what The Rock does. He sells fucking tickets, ladies and gentlemen. That's what the fuck he does. So let's stop the complaining and let's stop the hate, because I really don't think it would be this much heat or complaints if he didn't look like myself or like Nicole or like Terrence. And I'm talking about his hue. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Okay, so let's keep it moving, though, guys. Oh, The Rock is doing his thing, and they are building to that story. Night one, Cody and Seth versus Rock and Roman, even though I think that should have been Cody and Randy Orton or Cody and Jey Uso. Come again, Nicole?
Absolutely. There's another match I think Randy would have been a better fit for, but I agree with you.
Yeah. But let's embark on that just for a second, Nicole. Give me some of your reasons on why you agree that it could probably be someone else. What are you not? I mean, I love Seth, and he's growing on me every week, and his mic skills are awesome. I threw the roof. And he's kind of funny, but Cody's already got two matches and Roman has two matches now, night one and night two. Does Seth have to be a part of this? Why does he have to be in? Just tell me, Nicole, what's your thoughts on why it could have been somebody else like Randy or Jey Uso helping Cody?
Now, don't get me wrong. And Seth Rollins stan. I love me some Seth Rollins, all right? But I think in terms of, you know, even if we're going as surface level as promos, Cody needed a partner who can verbally spar on the same level as Roman and Rock, someone who can really back him up verbally. On top of that, I think really, you know, I think Seth has solidified himself as a champion, you know, not even just passing the total amount of title defenses that Roman had in 3.5 years and 7 months, but I think just his presence, he has really built up his presence as a champion. When he comes out, it's like, okay, yeah, here comes the champ, you know? But yeah. I think the return of, like, the timing of Randy's return would have been absolutely flawless to pair him with Cody heading into the Rumble, coming out of the Rumble, passing Elimination Chamber. It just would have been so perfect to see Randy with Cody. And the only thing about that kind of sucks is, like, how do we, now that we've put Randy on SmackDown, who do we get to pair with him? Not that it would really matter because, you know, Roman is on SmackDown, but it just, it's not the only real thing that I feel the ace that Seth has in his back pocket is that he was in the Shield with Roman. That's the only real connect I think that there is.
Yeah.
That it felt kind of rushed because Punk is injured. And it's like, now what do we kind of do to keep some hype around Seth?
Yeah. 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 That and the fact that they really were going to go Rock and Roman, not Cody and Roman. That lets you know this. They had to shift it. That's what there was. Yep. But good stuff, Nicole.
And give them credit for that. Because first and foremost, the problem really is this damn streak should have ended last year. Cody should have won last year. And a lot of this, now you still could have gotten your Roman and Rock this year, and you wouldn't even have to worry about the fans interjecting Cody into it.
Mm-hmm.
Or Cody could have just not won the damn Rumble, and you wouldn't have him.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put him in Rumble, and you for some reason had plans on him and Seth having a fourth match, and you really can't have Seth lose to somebody 4 times consecutively, like, it was bad booking from the start. And honestly, the CM Punk injury and the fan revolting kind of saved them, in my opinion, from some bad shit.
I got you. Yep. Right.
No.
Yeah. So.
So we got to be a better. To me, that's the spot where you can call a legend for me and have everyone.
Mm-hmm.
She is out there. Let's go over and get Cena one more year before he's all wrapped. So many record.
Mm-hmm. So I think they. No. Please, go ahead.
Put Randy against Gunther.
Yeah.
Instead of Sami Zayn.
Right.
If it wasn't going to be Chad.
Nicole, do you think it should have been Chad, though? I think Terrence does.
1,000%. I love Sami Zayn, but
yeah,
that was just a really neat. It took some light out of me.
Yeah, and maybe it's still with me. They'll probably still.
Chad gave it. But if they do, it'll only be because of the reaction or lack of reaction that they're getting. They knowing that they screwed it up, and they'll try to fix that as well. But yeah, so I think they got it. Yeah, backwards with the triple threat. That it's KO, Randy, and Logan Paul. But it probably should be Chad Gable and, you know, those guys there. But okay, but yeah, that's where they're going with it. What about LA Knight and AJ Styles? You know, do you want to see that? I definitely. Some people think that the interacting between those two and, you know, Seth and Drew and, you know, Cody and Roman, just not enough interaction with these guys. And a lot of people are blaming The Rock for taking up this time, 20, 30 minutes of the show in the beginning, or running through the first 90 minutes because we've got to save 30 minutes for him at the end of the show. Either or, this is why he's getting some of the heat that he's getting. I want to hear what you both think on this, because that's kind of some truth to that. It's kind of accurate. And then again, it's kind of inaccurate because, you know, some people do think The Rock can do what he's doing in a lesser time than that. However, it is The Rock. This is what the people are paying to see. This is why your ratings are going up. This is why your ticket sales are going up. They're there for him. So he has to give you a show and put on a show. You would complain if you only got him for 5 minutes and he's the only reason why you're there. You don't care about the other hour and 55 minutes of the show. So, you know, like, look, we can't please them all. It's kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't. It's what it's starting to seem like. But again, I think I know why. You know, it's mainly like that because The Rock is the final boss. He is in charge and they just not feeling that. I just hope that it doesn't end up getting ugly to where, you know, hey, The Rock is sick of hearing these people complaints. He's sick of their crap and he's going to start burying some of these people, you know, and it may not be good for wrestling, because if you make it personal and we've got this story going on and all, you just messed it up because he's been treating you like a dick in the back. But, you know, like, just hope it doesn't come to any of that is what I'm trying to say. But let's just continue to get into the show again. Just give me your take, Nicole, on, you know, like everything that they're doing, what you like and what you dislike. You know, I will say, for one, Bayley and Io Sky, that has been something that I don't know if it's gotten enough attention. But again, there's only so much time. They're on a 2-hour show, not a 3-hour show. So you're not really getting everything that you probably could get from it. I was looking for Jade to come help Bayley on Friday Night SmackDown, but it was only Naomi and she got her ass kicked too. I don't know, you know, how they're going to do that, but Terrence seems to think that Bianca Belair is going to jump on board and help. I think she's going to wait and she's going to, you know, beat Bayley's ass after she wins the championship, because she doesn't like her anyway. I think Jade should be the one that could come in if they want to get her in a WrestleMania moment. Maybe not. Maybe she's still not ready. I'm not sure. But just, we'll start with you, Nicole, and then we'll go to Terrence. I want both of you to give me your takes on just any match that they're not doing enough of, or whatever you think that they're doing great at as we get ready for this WrestleMania 40.
So I definitely think that Bayley and Io is not getting nowhere near enough publicity or screen time, whether it be, you know, weekly on SmackDown, or whether, you know, mentions here or there on Raw, or, you know, even as far as the posters and, you know, the pics that are being posted on social media. You hardly see Bayley on any of the WrestleMania promo, you know, posters that are going up. And she won the Royal Rumble. Her award, acknowledgement of that is to headline at WrestleMania. And I think it's, you know, even before the Royal Rumble, I think it was the debate that she wasn't even on the original poster for the Royal Rumble with all the superstars. So I think she's getting slighted quite a bit. And the thing is, if we're going to have this major turn for Bayley, if we're going to see her finally lead Damage Control, the dominant faction that she created, and, you know, all, you know, the dedication that she had to Damage Control, it's not getting the proper attention or play out that it deserves. Because even on Friday night, when I was like looking at my watch, I was like, okay, we got about 20 minutes left in the show. The main event, the biggest part of the night, is supposed to be her versus Dakota Kai.
Yeah.
And then for that match, sitting there watching it, to see that end in a disqualification literally just made it fall flat to me. And I looked at my friend who was there next to me and I said, what time is it? She said 8:57. And I was like, what? So, you know, people start chanting EST. I'm chanting EST. And Bianca doesn't even show up. I was like, at least, like, girl, the show in your home state?
I knew she wasn't going to be there.
Augusta last night. I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like literally the silence that fell over the audience in person. I was just sitting there looking like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, you could feel, like, everyone kind of like, it was just flat. It was like, this is how the show is ending. And I haven't gone back to watch it, but I wonder if they piped in crowd noise at the end of the show.
Yeah, And was telling Jarvis before we started, before you came on, that a lot of times we do hot shows if I watch the Cowman. Yeah, he's a performer, so I like to see something that they're doing in the academy. And two, I like to be able to see. We know if the camera guy turns to the entrance, someone is coming out, right? And after Leona came out and got beat down, and the cameraman did not go towards the entrance. Oh, no, this is the show is ending like this. And sure enough, the show ended like that. And it was kind of a letdown, to be honest.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought that at least we were going to get Jay. If we didn't get Jay, then at least Bianca was going to come out and save the day, you know, and that just didn't happen. So I was saying about the build to Io Sky, baby, two things. One, Io Sky, to me, never got always champion. So it doesn't look good because she never got always. Even now, she's just taking a back seat to everybody. Asuka's better than Io Sky. And I would rather see Oscar title 20 times over it before she Io Sky. It's not like Io Sky. She's in a group with people that are more over than she is. And that's the danger in groups, that sometimes your groupmates are more over than you. You know, it works both ways sometimes. And then the second thing is they're also trying to build to a damage control match. The same time they're building to this Io Sky and Bayley match, and the problem is that Io Sky lacks so much that she's just taking a back seat to the group and to the BL to the damage control match.
Yep.
And
yeah.
To me, it's just going to be problematic. And now that doesn't mean that once they get in the ring, they may have the best match on the card. But it's also just one of those things where the build to it sucks because Io Sky was over his champion.
Yeah, how about bringing his belt flat?
To me, this is something that she should have lost the title before now. And that should have been, yeah, I would have loved to have seen Bayley and Bianca for the title. I mean, clearly it was going to be a deal not be Bayley. You know, maybe she could have lost to that. Maybe she could have lost to that the Elimination Chamber. And Bianca takes the title, and then we got Bianca and Bayley. It's better than one of them. You know, to me, that would have made more sense. This just looks like, all right, we're gonna put the title on Bayley.
Yeah.
The first chance we get is that Mania. Io Sky just never got over to me as champion. That's the problem with that view.
Right, right. You're both telling me that this is Triple H, head of creative. This is his doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I believe that Triple H is doing the absolute best with what he has. And unfortunately, you know, we talked about this previously. Right now, what he has is, he has so many guys that could legitimately be in the main event at Mania. And I don't know if they've ever had this many guys and ladies at one time in the main event at Mania. They should be in the main event at Mania, you know? And right now, it's just like, hey, we got to get person H, person Y, person Z on the card because we don't want to leave them out. And somebody, even with two nights of WrestleMania, somebody is still going to be left out.
Right. Right.
You know, I've seen the shoe partners at Mania. And to me,
yeah, we got to see them somehow, some way. Well, I'll throw one more at you guys. Jimmy and Jay. They didn't bill for that. They just called each other out. And we've only got about three more weeks before Mania. And they're going to have a fight. I know it's going to be one of the best fights on the card. However, they didn't do anything with that. That's why I think that Jay Uso could have been in this with Cody. He could have been helping him. They're both on the same show. He hasn't been doing much anyway with anybody else. You know, he didn't win the Intercontinental Championship from Gunther. He didn't beat Drew McIntyre when they had their little thing to get to. There hasn't been much he's been doing on Raw, so he could have easily been put in this circle with.
The real reason why Seth is in this, to me, is not necessarily because of the CM Punk injury. I also think it's more so like it's another way of taking a title off him. The storyline is going to be, oh, he's in the bloodline. He's doing too many things with the bloodline. He's not wanting my training. He's going to get beat up a little bit in the match. He may be the one to take the pin down. And then he'll come out the next night. Drew be able, or Damian Priest will cash in on one or two, if not both. and that's just not like going right there where he's just doing too much and not worried about the championship.
I feel that. I agree. And I understand it, but still, just let the man lose the belt. We already know that he's injured. We know he's not. Yeah, why does it have to be? This is that John Cena crap that I'm getting those vibes to where, and I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. You always find a way to make some of these stars, mostly a Caucasian one, look so good even when they don't go over. But you don't give a damn about that when it comes to the black wrestler. They never care. Like, how many times have you watched?
It's a very Vince McMahon thing to protect certain stars, and it looks like Seth is getting that protection right now.
I mean, him losing the title, it doesn't matter how he looks. I mean, somebody could have interfered and he lost. It doesn't have to be this. I think they're doing too much, but you're right. I think this is the reason. Look, he had a match against McIntyre. He had a match helping Cody. That's just too much. And he just got cleared. Maybe he really wasn't, should have been, maybe he shouldn't have been cleared. Maybe you can even say that he paid the doctors to, you know, to say that he was cleared and he wasn't. Now he's suspended for, you know what I'm saying, 90 days or something, you know, like there's things that you can do to get creative in that, but just to make him look still strong, he lost, but so many reasons why he lost. I don't care for that part. Just let the man lose and leave him out of this. That could have been Jey Uso easily. That now when him and Jimmy goes at it, you've got them all in the ring together. You've got Rock. You've got Roman. You've got Jimmy. You've got Jey on the other side with Cody and Randy is how I thought it should have went. But anyway, it is what it is. I'm not trying to nitpick here or complain. Come on. Mm-hmm.
All of the title matches that are lined up for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And look at how many of them are expected to change. Roman versus Cody, we're expecting Cody to win. Bayley versus EO, we're expecting Bayley to take that title. Yeah. When you look at Seth versus Drew, I mean, Seth, we've seen this up and down, him and Shinsuke about his back and him and his injuries, and we weren't expecting this, you know, expecting to see him and Punk, and now we were like, are both of them injured? What's going on? I feel like, is this either going to be one of those things kind of like the draft last year where it's just a bunch of title swaps and switches and shakeups, or is it, are there going to be some hooks and catches and maybe a few disappointments in terms of, because it feels really weird, I will say. I'm excited for WrestleMania, but it feels like there's too much predictability, and I wish they would stop saving all of these title reigns and changes solely for WrestleMania. Like there aren't other premium lightning there throughout the year.
That may actually happen.
I'm not even going with a major title. No, I'm just saying this real quick. Just Jimmy and Jey, yeah, I'm excited to see that, but why do we have to stack all these matches for WrestleMania? That would have been the perfect headliner for SummerSlam.
Yeah. Yeah, a better build. They could have slowly cooked it. It is. I think it is. Now, Terrence, you were going
to
say?
It's a weird thing with Jimmy and Jey. Like, they had all this time to build to it.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of took themselves a little too seriously and didn't be able to.
Yeah.
And now they're just all of a sudden it's like now. When they should have been kind of doing a little bit more in the meantime. First of all, you know, doing the shows, which really just a pull. But at the same time, it's also like you still have to work on building it, even though you're prolonging your build. I think they kind of forgot that, honestly.
You make a good point, but let's go back to what Nicole was just saying here. The Great Debate Show, available wherever you get your podcasts. Hit the follow button, rate, review, and follow The Great Debate Show. And Nicole Covington, the It Girl of Radio, is joining us today on another wrestling episode. And she says something a few minutes ago that I like. I want to say that it's not going to end or be as predictable as it looks right now. Maybe they do throw some of these hooks and curves in, you know, a few swerves, a few curveballs that that Nicole is alluding to right here, because it does seem like something does seem a bit off, a little awkward. I'm thinking, and again, I know we all think that Rock is probably going to betray Roman, and I'm sure he is. But what if it's not going that way? I'm trying to think of a reason on why the hell Seth is in this match. And just what if And you heard Cody. Let's not forget what Michael Cole said to Cody and asked him during the interview on Monday Night Raw. I don't really care for Cody with the crying and getting all sentimental. You told me in the beginning you were hunting the bloodline. You've been kind of acting like a pussy. All right? Let's get that tough anger and stop getting treated like a wuss. Yeah, you finally got your slap back. It took a month down there before you got that lick back. I think we may be seeing, and I know it looks predictable, that, hey, Cody's going to win this thing. Cody and Seth are going to lose on night one. It's going to be bloodline rules. They're going to stack everything against them and still win. That's, of course, that's probably how it's going to go. But just what if they're using Seth Rollins in this match because he's going to be the one that's going to turn on. He's going to flip it. He's going to turn on Cody. He's going to look him in his eyes and say, did you really think you could trust me? Screw you. You came back. You came here into this company and beat me. He's beaten him like two or three times already. What reason does he really have to help Cody? What if Seth screws Cody in this thing? And it's not Rock betraying Roman. Rock said he'll do whatever he can in his power to make sure Cody doesn't get that belt and to make sure that Seth's belt goes away. What if these are the facts that he's already telling you and it's really going to happen? What if the bloodline still keeps pushing? What if Roman wins and Seth screws Cody? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm trying to make a logic here. I'm trying to make it logical on why he's in this match. It could be some twists, some hooks. And if we're talking that, like Nicole is speaking here, this is what it could be. I don't know which one it would be, but what if? Just what if? Am I off here? I mean, because it does seem too predictable. If there was anything that would go off the script or unpredictable, we know Triple H loves to say, you thought we were going to do this, didn't you? It feels like they're going to hit us with something like that, as Nicole was alluding to. So I'm going to ask you two this question before we move on and get out of here. What is the one thing that may actually go completely left, you know, even though we see it one way now, but what could that be?
Can't happen with Roman versus Cody.
It can't?
It cannot. It makes no sense for them to throw a 2-year build away.
I didn't think, Nicole, it made sense for him to lose last year, but he lost. I really didn't.
That would be flattest most. I remember literally looking at the screen like, did this literally just happen? It felt like such a waste. It felt like all of the life had been sucked out of. And I literally, whenever I think of WrestleMania 39, I literally think that is top five to me of the top three worst endings to WrestleMania ever.
It was almost like Brock Lesnar pinning Undertaker for the three count. I was like, what the hell? Did he really hit three? Is it over?
Yeah.
The streak is ended? It kind of felt like that because everybody was telling me, oh, yeah, this is Cody's moment. He's going to win. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I like Cody. But I kind of was like, yeah, but this streak thing, I kind of like what they're doing here, and I want that to keep going too. And they did it. I got you. You're right. I agree. And I agree with you. I do. Your thoughts?
The only thing that I would guess that might be a little bit of a curveball is Gunther losing his title.
Yeah.
And I say it because I know they want Gunther to be world champion. And, you know, there's no point in him being a world champion, even though I would like it. But I could see him losing that title and then immediately challenging for one title. Like they have a year in. Oh, yeah, I forgot exactly what it is. Germany, maybe?
Berlin.
So I'm looking to win that title in Berlin. Now, I don't know exactly when that is. I think it's in the summer, maybe?
In August.
Wow. That's some good information.
Back to lunch.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm looking for Gunther to either be world champion by then or win it at that point in time. You know, maybe Gunther breaking through.
Okay.
This is Shane's aside. You know, I don't know, but even if Shane is deleting his Twitter X.
Yeah.
There's one thing that I say, hey, this might end weird. It could very well be going to the tip and away losing his title.
For sure. But I feel like if he does lose it to Sammy, it needs to be kind of like a quick pass off. Like, Sami Zayn does not give me mid card vibes. I would rather see Sami Zayn and Gunther going for like the heavyweight championship.
Oh, wow. Really?
The IC just.
Well, listen, I have been calling for Sami Zayn heel turn for a while.
Sure.
Yeah, because it's starting to get a bit stale right now, what he's doing.
And hey, this will be the perfect time for a double turn.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. I think it's also time for Bianca. Yeah, I think Bianca does the same thing, that she needs to come on and do it. You know, attack Naomi, do something. Like, her and Bayley needs to be next. And but again, they
can't do it.
He's another John Cena.
She's just too
good at being good.
Okay, so
I think they can, you know, kind of like, I think the best comparison in terms of character and character behavior is her and John Cena. But John always had some edge to him, even in Stugonomics, even in the PG era. He still had some edge on him. He would still say, you know, say something a little crazy, ruffle some feathers. He was good, but he still knew how to pull some of that edge out of him. And, you know, he wasn't like rounded SpongeBob. He wasn't squeaky clean all the time. But I think from Bianca, yeah, he can still be good and happy and sad and a little, you know, a little.
Well, it's starting to look like Bianca is about to get a little edgy then with hers. That's what it seems to me. I mean, look, I get what you both are saying, and you're right. She is the Slim Jim. Like, she does the Slim Jims now. I get it. She's that big. However, she's not John Cena, though. And she's definitely not the same hue as John Cena. So she can't get away with some of the things that Cena got away with. She's going to get staler. I'm hearing it. People are saying that they're getting sick of it. Now, she doesn't deserve the disrespect that she got last week on Twitter or whatever on social media. I don't know where the hell that came from. Screw them. The hell with them. Yeah, piss on them. However, this gimmick is starting to get stale. You can switch it up, and this is the perfect time. I think she should be with the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley, and they should just go crazy. Yeah. Yeah, but you guys are giving me a good. Yeah, but you're giving me a good reason on why they're not going to do that. I understand it, but it's not good for TV.
Hey, John, do you remember? You remember when Alex Taylor, he won something? I forgot what it was, but he came back and they had a match or something. Let's make that. And then they closed the show with who at the time was a heel. Victor comes out, the final winner, and they. They give him a nice big old hug. They give him a nice big old kiss in the middle of the ring. And I told you, I said, they want to sell their relationship. They want to sell it. WWE's on the same thing right now with Bianca Belair and Montez Ford. They got the reality show. They make all the red carpet events, all talk shows. It's hard to have her heel if you're going to have.
I forgot about that.
There's just so many things about Bianca that's big. That's why I enjoy it, by the way.
Yeah, I forgot about the TV show. I did. Yeah, there's no way they're going to let her go heel right now during that. But again, it's rubbing some of the people the wrong way. They don't care to see her if they're going to just keep, if she just, you know, she's just, it's the same old smile and play with the ponytail. I'm going to whoop somebody's ass or I'm going to put somebody over. But yeah, that's about it. And I want to see her in a story. Terrence is giving us the Bianca ponytail spin right now, whatever she calls it. But yeah, look, I like the EST, no problem at all. I'm just saying, I kind of agree with some of the fans that are saying it's time to mix it up a bit. But hey, they're not going to do it. So can't wait to see how they're going to do this with her at WrestleMania. Or is she going to get left off the show, off the card? I don't know. Can't wait to see. We've got 3 more weeks. Actually, maybe just 2 more, because SmackDown isn't, yeah, 3 more, because they're not going to do anything on the day before WrestleMania, right? That's not going to be an episode, I don't believe. It's just going to be that Monday Night Raw. That's the Hall of Fame episode and the signings and meeting greets. Yeah, okay, so there's no episode there. So that's about 2 or 3 left, and they need to get to it if Bianca's going to have anything meaningful in this WrestleMania, you know, I guess. All right, so what else do I have for you two? We talked about pretty much the card that we think that we have right now. What about Rhea and Becky? I mean, you know, they're doing all right. They're getting some time on Monday Night Raw. They've got 3 hours, you know, over there on that show to do it. But something about it with me, and I can't speak for you two, I just don't really care. It's not really working for me. I'm not against it, but, you know, I'm not getting my popcorn waiting on their music to hit either. I'm sorry, I'm not.
You're not going to have to listen about that.
No, go ahead.
Say, after all these,
Ladies first here. Why Becky? Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. Why Becky?
And I think I'm not against it, but I feel like it would have been really dope had it been Bianca. And Bianca continuing her undefeated at WrestleMania streak. I just think Bianca, it just screamed main event status. Yeah, and then I think if Rhea holds the title for 70 days after WrestleMania, I think she would beat Bianca's record as the longest reigning women's champion of the modern era.
What? Already?
You let that happen?
Hmm.
Yeah, because it was from WrestleMania to Night of Champions. WrestleMania 2021 to Night of Champions 2023.
Well, maybe Bianca will play a part to that match on why she won't break that streak. Maybe she helps Becky Lynch become the new champion. I don't know. They need to switch it. You're really hurting the storytelling and the long-term booking here if you don't let Bianca go heel. There's nothing else for her as a babyface on SmackDown. It just isn't. I don't see it. And the same thing for her husband and his tag team partner. I think Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits should be heel as well. Nobody cares about Bobby Lashley and Karrion Kross. That's not hitting for whatever reason. I'm sorry. They could do better. I'm not trying to nitpick again, but they could do better with some things. And everything that you both have said, Terrence, Nicole, I think you've hit the nail right on the head every time with a lot of these things that they could be doing better. Okay. Why Becky? Yeah. Yeah, that's really the real answer. That's true. That's true. But why is she not losing, though? Nicole, can you answer me that then, Terrence? Why is she not losing? What is she doing in her championship run so special?
Bianca has had a reign like Io. You have Rhea Ripley. You know, basically, you can go ahead and call her the leader of the Judgment Day. She's a huge presence with or without the Judgment Day. People come to Raw events with shirts on saying Monday Night Mommy. She is a draw. But she has not had title defenses, or at least title defenses with people of the same caliber as her, for her reign to feel important. Just like Io. Io hasn't had these title defenses where, I'm being honest, I don't give a damn about Io as champion. It's been flat. It's been boring. I feel like they put the title on her for no reason. Feel like it was a waste.
Agreed.
But with Rhea needs that Becky Lynch, that solidified talent, the same way Becky went to NXT for 42 days as the women's champion and built up Lyra Valkyria and then came back to the main roster. Rhea needs that solidified talent who can put on a kick-ass show, a kick-ass main event at WrestleMania and really solidify, you know, hey, I beat Becky Lynch. I beat this big person to continue, you know, theme role in the competition, if you will, for her to feel like an important and as big of a champion as I feel she has the potential to be. And this is one of those things I feel
I think they... Hmm? No, go ahead.
What kind of screwed up the storytelling for WWE over the last near year was the draft. Like, there were so many swaps that just didn't make sense. And when you look at how, you know, the talent on one show versus the other, it's like, we have so many potential bangers, but it's like, y'all just rolled the dice and was like, hey, you know, you go here, flipping quarters, basically, to see who goes where.
Yeah.
The other big problem also was that they initially had her booked as a heel champion. They can quit trying.
Yeah.
She is not a heel. She has not been a heel. And honestly, outside of the victory last year in Mania with Charlotte, she hasn't really had any significant victories over person X, person Y, person Z. The Nia Jax match was good, in my opinion, but like nobody expected my Nia Jax to win. She has not been in one of those situations where I'm like, all right, she might lose this one. And, you know, she comes out on time. All her matches have been as far as the outcome. And so having a Bianca or even have a Jade or somebody that, you know, My thing with Jade, I lose it. There's no wrong in that, and she does lose, but at least it creates a suspense of like, all right, it's amazing, living person is over here to take your title, and you beat her, right? But I don't think there's a chance in hell of Becky just winning that match. I think Becky's just there because Becky's a huge name. Becky And I think Biggie is their higher paid lane wrestler. You hold your ass a point to set up a month. So, in your opinion, they'll put that in the biggest lane that can put in. What's it? It's just not somebody that you think is
going to win. I agree with that. And me personally, here's why I think they're messing up it. Speaking of Becky Lynch having the most money, Sasha Banks, a.k.a. or Mercedes Moné, she is asking for Becky Lynch money. And that's the reason why she's not in WWE right now, because she's asking for about $5 million per, and they're not giving it to her. Now, Tony Khan didn't give her that either, but it was more than whatever WWE was offering. And it was closer to the number that she wants on that side, and that's why she's there. I'll ask you a quick question about her in a minute here, but I want to say this. Becky and Rhea Ripley, if to them on paper, that sounds like the 49ers versus the Chiefs, the Eagles versus the Chiefs Super Bowl in their minds. But I'm going to say that, honestly, everything that you just said, I agree with you about Rhea Ripley. I agree 100%. She definitely is still a big draw. But they could be doing this without the title being having anything to do with this at all. The title doesn't have to be in the picture, because she is who she is. She's over, and her and Becky could still have their match. I think she should have lost at Elimination Chamber. I'm not going to lie to you. That's just my opinion. I think Nia Jax is killing it right now. And I think that is somebody that you wouldn't mind Jade. The one that's somebody that wouldn't mind putting Jade over, and you could continue what they had at Royal Rumble and what they did. Now, the only problem with that would be is that, hey, we're giving the Jade the championship then too soon, or don't give it to her. I don't care, but I'm just saying Rhea doesn't have to have the belt on her right now. And Nia Jax is doing a great job. I wouldn't have been upset if she had won the title and then she put it up against Becky, or she put it up against Jade, or Jade just stepped in a triple threat. Nia versus Jade versus Rhea. She wants her rematch. You know, I don't know. But I think Becky and Seth are going on vacation, husband and wife. They take a break after WrestleMania. But I think that you put them in certain matches because of their star power and their name. And they're in matches that they don't have to be in. And I think some of these matches should have some stipulations to it, in my opinion. Just because it's PG. I think they're getting away from that January 1st, 2025, when they go to Netflix. So if we're getting closer to TV-14 and moving away from PG, hey, let's go ahead and have some fall counts anywhere. Let's have a good old steel cage or a Hell in a Cell match for WrestleMania outside of the six-pack ladder match or whatever, tag team ladder match. There's really not a lot of stipulations. Let's see a little blood. You don't do it enough. I know you don't want to. I know you're trying to get away from that, but this is WrestleMania. Let's give us something. I hadn't seen anybody go through a table and some chairs and some ladders and stuff in quite some time. Let's get a little bit of that to make these matches a little bit more interesting. AJ Styles versus, as long as it's not real glass, hell no. But AJ Styles versus LA Knight, that should be a no holds barred match or something like that. You know, let's put some stipulations to this stuff. And we're getting closer, though. I just wanted to give my take on it. Nia Jax is killing it. And the fact that she doesn't have an opponent right now for WrestleMania, or we don't know what to think. It looks like she's just going to mess Becky Lynch her chances up for being the champion. That's probably what they're going to do, because she won't let that feud go. She keeps attacking Becky. So I can see her basically being the reason why Rhea Ripley is still the champion. But again, yeah, she's not a heel anymore, Terrence. You're right. And that's the reason why I'm not really feeling it. I'm not. It's almost like baby versus baby, and I'm not interested. You know, they just put her back with Judgment Day in a segment last week. Like, at one point, it was almost like she's not even with Judgment Day anymore. They're heels. She's not. So. That's just my two cents. We'll see. Speaking of money and Becky Lynch and who's the really star, she's in AEW now. Her name is Mercedes Moné. I just want to ask y'all before we get out of here, if you care to speak on it. If you don't even think it's worth talking about, we can move on. But my question to the both of you is Mercedes Moné going to help the women's division in AEW now that she's there? And do you agree with the heat that she has with some of the women or some of the superstars, period, in AEW, on her making some comments about going back to WWE at some point in the foreseeable future before she made her debut? And Terrence is shaking his head no, so he has no issues with that at all. They're just hating on Mercedes, right? Tony's the one writing the check, right? Right. She definitely doesn't want to be away.
If Tony Khan, if his objective was to build the best wrestling company in the world, he would have done it already. For some reason, his objective, he is more concerned with WWE than he is with being the best for AEW.
Mm-hmm. This is fast.
He undercuts himself, overpaying the talent that would go to WWE, because Sasha was going back, and he just came in and gave all that money. The problem is, what you're going to do is you're going to get people who don't really want to be there. They're going to leave the first chance they get.
Nicole, how do you feel about that? Yeah, of course not. Of course not.
We agree. And the thing is, it's kind of both sides. It's, you know, either you're going to take the money and be somewhere you don't want to be, but at the same time, in wrestling, everyone jumps from company to company to work with different talent, whether they, you know, start in WWE and go elsewhere or work their way around and then come to WWE. I think she's going to be okay in AEW because of how many people are saying that they will start watching AEW because of her, or will go back to watching AEW because of her. Because Mercedes is a draw on her own. She's solid. I mean, she's one of the four horsewomen. So I think eventually, yes, she will come back home, but it probably won't be one of those, okay, my time is up. It's going to be like, okay, I'm tired of being here. Like, get me back to WWE.
Yeah. So do y'all think that she's going to reinvent herself in AEW so WWE will give her the amount that she wants the next time? And it would be the third time because they've already negotiated twice and did not come to terms, 2022 and the end of 2023. It did not happen in either Decembers of those years. Can she do that now?
If she reinvents anything, I hope she reinvents a new finisher. The shit she's doing whenever is not good.
God.
No, not really. And the entrance is not that good either. I like the other stuff better. Well, what I heard in New Japan. I really like the Sasha Banks stuff, though. I'm sorry. That's still better. But I know she can't go by that or that song. But y'all, I don't mean to throw a shot because I'm not throwing any shots. I listened to her in an interview and Mercedes Vernado or whatever her real name is. She seems like a beautiful soul. And she's from the Bay Area, and she was repping the 49ers as I've been doing for the past 30 something years. I respect all of that. But I've always thought she was just a little bit overhyped and overrated. I don't get the big fuss about her and what, you know, I don't really care who she signed with. I didn't care. I really didn't. And the numbers, it's going to show in AEW if anybody else cares or not. I think it went up like +2 as far as the ratings. They got 800,000. Yay. Whoopee. But I don't think she's changing anything in the back. I don't think she's changing anything in their women's division because unless she knows how to book, unless they're going to let her do that and be a head of creative and all of that. And who's to say she knows what she's doing in that department either. But unless those things happen, no, she's not going to be able to reinvent herself like Cody Rhodes did before he went back. This is what she needs to be trying to do. Reinvent herself like Cody did and go back. But I don't know if that's going to happen because AEW isn't what it was when Cody helped start AEW. It's not that. And Terrence, I told you this 2 years ago when it happened. I said, I think this is it for AEW is going to go downhill now. If what I've heard is true, that Cody was doing most of the booking, he was ahead of most of the creative. And we see now they don't know what the hell they're doing. It seems like it's Bryan Danielson who's been doing most of the booking because I heard him in an interview talking about how he's happy where everybody is now as far as the stars, the up and coming stars. He's right to a certain extent, but they're not putting them in good stories or good bills. You're right. It does supposed to be more AEW homegrown talent on television, but you've got to make them look like something. They have to look like legitimate stars, and I don't see that. So I'm going to blame him and blame Tony for putting him in charge to do that. It's been pretty bad. And AEW is not even watchable to me. But I brought it up for the reasons that Nicole just mentioned when she said about Mercedes being a big draw. And she has her followers, and they're going to tune in for her. Now, I kind of disagree with that a little bit, but it does seem like she's a big draw. I just don't get it. I would like to see this go somewhere, though. I really would. Does anybody watch AEW enough to tell me what they could do? I like that. Straight to the point.
Whenever people ask me about it, I always say it looks like backyard wrestling.
It kind of does. It kind of does. They're working on the quality, though. The quality of the show starts to look better.
When they legitimately started this debate, they were like, oh, wrestling versus sports entertainment. Yeah, I literally know 1,000 people that can get in the ring and turn clicks and make it look good. I don't know a lot of legit entertainers. You know, we should be shots here and they go up. I mean, please say you see a lot, John.
Not a damn one. And ain't gonna see him do one because he didn't need to. Yeah.
AEW can't fill up the Lander Center right now.
No, they can't. I was at the show and
on the card, put Cena on the card.
Yeah.
Put Taker on the card. Any of these guys, they are going to fill up for them.
Yeah.
And it's because of entertainment. Put Stone Cold on the card. Rain. They're going to fill up the show. And the problem is that every wrestler is entertainer because you are out there trying to make me believe what you're doing is authentic and it's real. That's entertainment. If it was strictly a competition, I would go to a damn NFL game or to an NBA game.
Right, right. Yeah, and they give us no entertainment.
Embrace the entertainment value. From a nurture standpoint, from a talent standpoint, from a creative standpoint, your product is going to be terrible, and that's what AEW is learning. It's hard for you to watch. Like, the last thing I watched, I did watch the show of Sting's last match. They had a great match. I mean, I'm not imagining.
It's a pay-per-view. It's supposed to be, Julian.
I didn't care about it because the story just wasn't there. It's just, hey, this person's a dream match. Yeah.
Who gives a shit? Why are they fighting? Why is this match? Why am I looking at these two people in the ring? Yeah. You're right, T. You make a good point. I like how Nicole just got straight to the point. Nicole said no.
Takeshna, and they're in the same faction, by the way. I'm so sick of these faction. Why are they fighting then? Why can't they be on team and fight about another faction?
And what's so sad about that is Don Callis just probably told Tony Khan it'll be great for TV. And he said, okay. No, you don't okay something like that. You don't okay that. This is what happens when... Go ahead. No, go ahead, Nicole.
It seems like AEW isn't big on continuity.
Hmm.
Because when... And I will say, I tried... Once I saw on Twitter, like, I saw... Literally, I saw Jade Cargill. And I was like, who is she? Literally. And I saw that she was on this undefeated streak. And I'm like, oh, what do you want with me? She was, you know, 20, then 30, then 40. Then she gets to 50. And I'm like, okay, this girl, like... I remember seeing the tip of like her and Shaq versus Cody, and I was just like, who is this girl? But after seeing her lose the title and it just, the women's division seemed like it was kind of being toyed with, I was just like, what do they have going on? Like, what are they, what's the story? What's the momentum? Where's the push? Where's the continuity? They aren't big on that. It's just matches for the hell of it is what it seemed like to me.
Pretty much. Matches for the hell of it. That's what it should be called. Matches for the hell of it. You know, that's really what it should be called. And not AEW. There's nothing elite about it at all. I agree with everything you two just said. But I just wanted to bring up Mercedes Moné. I thought that she was worth mentioning, though. And we did get to talk about it for a brief moment. But, hey, I know I don't watch it enough to say what they should do or what they're going to do. But my son was right, man. I have to give it to him. He told me that Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge, the Rated R Superstar, in his opinion, is a top 10 superstar of WWE all time. If he goes to AEW, he's not even going to be in the top 25 anymore. Looks like he's pretty much done that because now going to AEW, it's been meaningless. He was not the needle mover. He didn't do anything for the company. He did not make that change. He just took another fat ass check from Mr. Khan along with Mercedes. Now she's doing it. These people are not changing the game. There's no range. Edge has all the range there is to hit what he can do, but he didn't make a difference. He still didn't bring people to AEW. And I think the CM Punk firing, that was the end of it. They gave him one more chance because they were going through a lot of motions back and forth when he was suspended and then he had the injury. They tried to hang in there. I think that was the last straw, and nothing is happening. And once again, the Young Bucks are still, whether they're the Young Bucks or Matt and Nick Jackson, EVPs, in dirty white suits, they're still not pulling in any more fans, the conservative fans that they said don't matter. We're going to listen to our fans and give them what they want. Well, good. Keep pleasing those 800,000, sometimes not even 600,000, hardcore wrestling fans when you're still missing out on another 1 or 2 point something million conservatives that would come to the table and be like, this AEW stuff is interesting, but there's nothing to look forward to. And yeah, Mercedes is just taking that money. That's it. That's it. I don't blame her at all. Hell, if they pay me, I believe if we could somehow get, as the Great Debate Show as a podcast, can get in the press as part of the press or anything with AEW, I believe I could somehow, if I could have a conversation with Mr. Khan or some of his people, you know, I believe I could talk him into overpaying me to do something that he doesn't even need me to do, probably. I think I could probably talk him into doing that. Hey, man, so if you just get me and Terrence and Nicole here to, you know, do some press and we're going to run these things and these ads and promotions. And, yeah, you know what? That sounds good. I'm going to leave my checkbook right here for you. Just put whatever you want to put on it. Okay. Thanks, Tony. Thanks, TK. I think I could do that. Hey, guy, he just seems so out there right now. Like, he has a bunch of Kelly Bundy moments, you know, a lot of blonde Kelly Bundy moments. He just seems to be this doofus who will just fall for anything and just, you know, yeah, do that. Like, come on, man, stop this. We're tired of seeing you or imagining what you were like on Christmas Day playing with your wrestling action figures. That's exactly what you're doing with your matches and your booking. Stop it. It's just all this money, but he's acting like this little kid that is playing with his action figures on a Wednesday night. Hey, this is what I played with this morning. Let's show them this on TBS. No, motherfucker. Why are we looking at these dudes? And why the hell is Okada with the Young Bucks? You paid him all that money and brought him here for how long? Are you comfortable with watching Adam Cole limping out there or rolling out there in a wheelchair? You know, like, when is this motherfucker gonna get well? It has to be an injury clause in these contracts or something. These guys are just getting paid to do nothing. I mean, Miro was a thing of the past. I believe Tony Khan split up the damn couple. Him and his wife are having a divorce. I mean, nothing good is coming from All Elite Wrestling, people. Nothing at all. And I just wanted to say that if you're looking for that right now at this time, this ain't the podcast to be coming to for that type of content. But we gave you a lot of WWE content, baby, a lot of it. Nicole, do you have anything else to say or, you know, mention with us before we get out of here on this show today? Raw, SmackDown?
y'all have said everything.
Okay. 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 All right. Terrence, anything that you need to share with us before we end this? We've pretty much got it all off. I know I have. We pretty much got it all off our chest then. That's it. And yeah, that's it. Hangman Adam Page. Just want to say this before I go. For whatever reason, I used to like that dude in AEW. For whatever reason. Now, he's like my worst superstar, wrestling superstar, whatever you want to call him in wrestling. Like, he is the worst. Everything that he did in that Swerve Triangle, I got caught up on that and stuff. And just nothing's good about him. Cool, you're letting him be healed, but he's not entertaining at all anymore. And I mean, he's boring. Everything about him, it's just like, and he messed this whole thing up with CM Punk and all of that. So I'm blaming him for that too. He's the cause of it. Mister, I don't need to listen to any veterans or older guys that's done it. You know, I know what I'm doing. Yeah, I see what you're doing. All right. You're getting 600,000 people to tune in every fucking week, getting your ass kicked in ratings. NXT is doing better than this right now. Should be ashamed of themselves. I'm out, though. That's all I got. I just wanted to just shit on Hangman Adam Page because I used to really like that dude, and I've just completely been 180 on him. Swerve Strickland, if you've got... Okay. Well, I hope he ain't going to the show I watch. I hope he's not. But Swerve Strickland, whenever you... If you've got Paul Levesque's number, a.k.a. Tripster, Triple H, man, give him a call because the way they're doing you over there in All Elite Wrestling is terrible. You should be a champion by now. And where the hell is Scorpio Sky? Is he gone? Is he on another promotion or what happened to him? Damn. He's like Waldo. Can't find him. Just wanted to say those things. Just wanted to get it off my chest. I've got it off my chest. I'm not trying to sound like JD from NY right now, but I just had to get that off. You know, they're that bad. They're that bad. But anyway, Triple H has been cooking. We talked about some of the things that they could do better with, though. And that's it. That's it. We're pretty much done here. It's been good. Next week, SmackDown, Cody and Roman will be face-to-face. So we'll come back and we'll talk about that. Also, we'll do that next Sunday, Super Sunday, Sunday Fun Day. We'll come back and do that. I may drop in throughout the week if something happens crazy on Raw. You may get me and Nicole in a quick 3-5 minute reel or a snippet, depending on what goes down. But I don't think anything is going to just pop off crazy right now. They pretty much have sent us in a direction, and I don't think they're going to steer us in another direction anytime, you know, before WrestleMania. So that's pretty much it. A lot of things threw things off with Brock not being able to show up anymore because of the Vince stuff and the Punk's injury, that all of that. That's all I got, man. I guess we should have talked about Booker T and CM Punk. If anybody cares about that, that was something that Booker T brought up in the podcast, but it seems like he's kind of looking for some, that seems like a little clickbait, to be honest. Don't know. It can't be a work because he's retired and CM Punk is injured, but anyway, I'm sure everybody knows about that, what he said on this Hall of Fame podcast. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up then, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for watching, joining us and listening to this episode of, you know, some good old wrestling. That's it. We're done. We will be back next week. And Jarvis, Nick, and Terrence will be back early this week for another episode on whatever the hell we're going to be debating. See, we'll be back for that. That's all I have. You all, please be safe out there. The It Girl of Radio. Again, you can follow her wherever, you know, you're at on your social media. That's what she is on Instagram and X, Facebook, and all of that. Terrence Smith, Jarvis Jeffries, we signing off. Peace.